Oh, a jeer, an email jeer, makes you wonder what you've done. Me, I say, don't maul yourself, find a silly joke or pun. Bro, whatever they have said, ha, it needn't hurt you so. See, you could just laugh instead. You will cheer right up, I know.
The Meet for TCast is brought to you in part by Sohn Lab, a recording studio in East Hampton, Massachusetts. Offering recording, mixing, and mastering of all styles of music, we even master podcasts. Email info@sonelab.com for more information. That's info@sonelab.com.
That's the record button. Have we started?
We have started.
So, this is the Meet for TCast. We might always start like that. Who knows? I'm Elizabeth McDuffie, founding editor of Meet for Tea, the Valley Review, and this is...
I'm Mark Allen Miller, sidekick and co-conspirator in Meet for Tea.
Yeah, and graphic designer and web guy and
the hats.
Host of the Cirques and a whole bunch of stuff.
The hats, there are many. Hey, everybody. Welcome to a special episode of the Meet for Tea cast. This time we're featuring an excerpt of a podcast from Paisley Productions, available only on Spotify, mind you, with Elizabeth speaking with Paisley. The podcast is called Learning German Through Music, and it is the episode where the song featured is MC Homo Sapiens Sapiens by Captain Pang and De Tentacle von Delphi. I'm probably massacring that because I don't speak German, but if you listen to a bit of this episode, you can hear Elizabeth and Paisley get into it. And if you like the whole thing, we will have a link to the Spotify episode in the show notes. So without further ado, here's Paisley and Elizabeth.
Hello and welcome to Lesson 23 of Learn German Through Music. November 24th is World Evolution Day, so we will be listening to MC Homo Sapiens Sapiens by Captain Ping und die Tentakel von Delphi. And the host of the Meet for Tea podcast, Elizabeth, is here with us today helping out. Elizabeth, Meet for Tea is a podcast, but first and foremost, it's a literary magazine, correct?
Correct. Richtig.
Sorry, go ahead.
Richtig.
Richtig. And so the podcast that Elizabeth has a bit of an NPR vibe.
Thank you.
And, which I love. I'm a lifelong NPR listener. And this band makes a lot of references that I think an NPR type of audience would appreciate. A lot of literary references, references from mythology. I think this is going to be a fun song for us to explore together. But real quick, when I first heard the name of your podcast in your literary magazine, I automatically thought it was the British meaning of tea, as if we're having meat for tea, but that's not correct, is it?
No. I mean, I like that takeaway, and it's certainly one of the things that's hinted at. But do you want me to quickly explain where the name came from?
Absolutely, please.
I've explained this in so many interviews. But it's,
sorry.
No worries.
I think it's a good story, though. I did hear it, but I think it's a good story.
I'm happy to give it again. It's a fun story, and I've gotten quick at it, too. So back in the days of MySpace, a fellow tried to ask me out by messaging me that he would like to meet for tea, and that's exactly the way he spelled it, M-E-A-T-F-O-R-T-E-A. And I was... adjunct professor of English, and so no to the date. that's really not going to happen if you get the wrong verb form. But I looked at those words on the page and the two EAs and the way it almost skews palindrome, and thought, yeah, I'm going to put that to use. I'm going to keep that.
I think you put it to very good use.
It was a band, initially. I was kind of an industrial electronic band, me on keys and a friend on bass and another friend on drums, but bass player moved to Brooklyn and drummer moved to Rhode Island. And then one day in the adjunct faculty offices, while my friend and colleague Alexandra Wagman and I were grading student papers, she turned to me and said, "Hey, we should start a literary journal." And I said, "Okay, I think I've got a name." And that's how, almost 17 years ago now, Meat for Tea was born.
That's so cool. And we're going to be back to talk about that a little bit more. But first, we're going to get to talking about the band and World Evolution Day. So World Evolution Day is a celebration to commemorate the anniversary of the publication of On the Origin of Species by Charles Darwin. And the day is used to educate about evolutionary biology by highlighting Darwin's contributions to science. In Germany, there was sort of an interesting thing, so I'm going to talk about this and then give you a link to read the article for anybody who's interested in learning more. There was a secularization campaign by a nonprofit called the Giordano Bruno Foundation, and they actually tried to petition to have Ascension Day, so the ascension of Jesus to heaven, turned into a secular German public holiday that would also have been called Evolution Day, Evolution's Tag. And so I just thought that was kind of interesting. They're a nonprofit that promotes evolutionary humanism and the Enlightenment. So there is going to be a link in the episode description to that article. And if anybody wants to learn more about it, it's pretty interesting. So look that up. So Elizabeth, Meat for Tea is a cool mix of a lot of things, music, politics, writing, much like this band's songs. Where do you get the content for your magazine, and can anybody submit stories or poems?
Yeah, thanks for asking, and thanks for the kind words. I'm glad you find it to be cool, because that's the goal, make a cool thing. Kind of like World Evolution Day and the secularization. That's a cool thing.
That's a cool thing.
That's a really cool thing. I like it a lot. So I put out calls for submissions, and it's a quarterly journal. So 6 to 8 weeks before I'm getting ready to do a new issue, I put out a call. I have themes for each issue, and I really discourage a literal approach to theme, because that's boring. I just kind of like what the theme does organizationally to the contents. And yeah, anyone can submit. You can see the calls for submissions on the Meat for Tea Facebook page, and I tweet them, and I use a pretty well-known submission manager, which is part of Duotrope, so it's pretty visible. That's where the content comes from. People submit in hopes of me liking their piece enough to publish it. And anyone can submit. That doesn't necessarily mean anyone will be published. Mm-hmm. And my standard contributor, my average contributor, and I'm not going to say that's the only stuff I would publish, but just generally speaking, it's tends to be people with terminal degrees, sometimes a couple, like MFA, PhD. Often they're professors. Sometimes they have their own publications, so it's not a low bar. Mm-hmm. But it's, and I'm not a snob either. It just tends to be what I get. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I publish what I like.
Hey, no, it's your magazine.
Yeah. That being said, I've published talented college undergrads. I've actually published a couple of talented kids, both writing and art. If I like it a lot, then it's going to get in.
That's very cool.
Thanks.
All right, so to the band. Captain Ping und die Tentakel von Delphi is an alternative hip-hop band. They were founded in 2012 by Robert Gwizdek, who is Captain Ping himself, and his brother Johannes Gwizdek, who also goes by the rapper name Shaban. And so if you do like Captain Ping, I also recommend looking up Shaban. They're both widely available on Spotify.
Cool.
The brothers had already been making music on their own for several years before founding Die Tentakel vom Delphi with three additional musicians. And music magazine Laut.de describes the band's style as a fusion of funk, rock, and alternative. And I'm also going to link an article about them in Laut.de to the episode description. In 2013, they released their first album on their own label. Their label is Kreismusik. And their third album came out in 2017. They have three studio albums, one EP, and were most recently in this year, actually, 2022, featured on the Känguru Verschwörung soundtrack. The Känguru Verschwörung is, I think, the second, perhaps the second, if not third, in the Känguru series of films. And speaking of films, Robert Gwizdek is actually an actor who's been in several episodes of Tatort, which I believe we brought up in episode 3, and there's a link to a place where you can watch Tatort in the description of Lesson 3. And he was also most recently starring in Känguru Verschwörung, the movie. And he is the child of actors Michael Gwizdek, who was in Goodbye Lenin. If anybody's a Captain America fan, Goodbye Lenin actually stars Daniel Brühl, who played Zemo in the Captain America films. And Ping's mother, Corina Harfouch, has also starred in several episodes of Tatort. Ping's also directed Rammstein videos. He directed the videos for Zeit und Angst, and he also writes books. He's just like a really multi-talented guy. Very, very interesting. So I'm also going to put a link to Kreismusik in the description. Elizabeth, have you seen the movie Goodbye Lenin by any chance? I know you studied German, and I know it's one of those movies that a lot of German programs are like, you know, you should watch this.
Yeah, I have not.
Have you heard of it?
I have not, and it sounds like something I should see. I studied German. I'm amazed that I retain as much as I do. It was my Nebenfach, um, die Universität, as an undergrad, and I started that degree in the fall of 1988-99. I actually started studying German, and the Berlin Wall came down was doing that minor, so that's how long ago it was.
Ah, that's very interesting. That's actually very much what the movie Goodbye Lenin is about. It's about it's a dark comedy about the reunification.
Germans are good at dark comedy.
They are. They're fantastic.
One of the best things. Well, there are a lot of good things about studying German, but one of my favorite things was watching The Tin Drum.
I love that film so much.
The book is wonderful too. Günter Grass is brilliant. It's worth reading a lot of his works, actually. But it was so fun because I was watching it with a then boyfriend, and it was so fun being able to see where the English subtitles were wrong, and oftentimes what they would do is they'd soften up the language or kind of
shorten it sometimes.
Soften up the language, substitute words that were clearly cuss words, a lot of that. There was a lot more swearing in the original German. I'm like, no, that's not what he was saying. He was saying like all those swear words. That's what he was saying. So it was a lot of fun. I adore The Tin Drum, and talk about dark comedy. Darkest.
Yeah. It's been so long since I've seen that. I need to go back and revisit that.
I literally got a chill down my spine just talking about it. Just like like the chill you get when you think of something that's delicious to do. Because it would be delicious to watch it again.
Definitely. All right, so we're going to get to the song now, but real quick, just a reminder, only Spotify Premium subscribers will be able to hear songs in their entirety, while non-subscribers will only hear a 30-second clip. Unfortunately, this is Spotify's rule, and we cannot change the format. Learn German Through Music is created using Anchor and is not available on other podcasting sites. So just a little bit to keep in mind when you're listening to the song for the first time. This is a song that is an exploration of the human impact on the planet. So bear that in mind when you're trying to, understand the lyrics without us going over the vocabulary first. So here it is for the first time today, MC Homo Sapiens Sapiens by Captain Ping of the Tentacle von Delphi.
Der neugierigste Affe aller Zeiten ist die bescheidenste Art, um ein Genie zu beschreiben. Ich bin hochbegabt, aber blind, Millionen Jahre alt, aber immer noch ein Kind. Ich bin die Krone der Schöpfung und arbeite langsam an meiner eigenen Löschung. Hochbegabt, aber blind, Millionen Jahre alt, aber immer noch ein Kind. Ich bin die Krone der Schöpfung und arbeite langsam an meiner.
All right, welcome back. So before we get into the vocabulary, Elizabeth, please tell us a little about your magazine and your podcast. What inspired you to actually start a literary magazine? That seems like it's a pretty big undertaking. And what's the experience been like?
Yeah, thanks for asking. So I feel like I started to answer that question when I talked about where the name came from, because honestly, when my friend and colleague Alex turned to me and said, hey, we should start a literary journal, and I said, okay, while we were sitting together in an adjunct faculty office and grading student papers, that was it. And then we just hit the ground running. We thought about all the authors we knew and, grad school and majoring in English and grad school and hanging out with she was MFA. I was almost PhD. But anyway, we had a bunch of writers at our disposal, so we went and got in touch with everybody, including the fancy ones. Like our first issue, we had Dorian Sagan, son of Carl Sagan.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So just, cool. That was the goal, just, really get these real heavy hitters. We wanted people to know we weren't messing around. Mm-hmm. And that was the very first issue almost 17 years ago. We're fully independent. We're not under the financial arm of a larger institution like a university or something. I stay in print by convincing business owners to purchase ad space. So that's a hustle.
Yeah, sounds like.
Yeah.
On top of reading all the submissions and everything else.
And everything else. But, really the experience has been wonderful and rewarding, that the journal's changed shape and gotten bigger over the years. It's always been quarterly, but no, it was bumped and stapled and more of a zine, and now it's perfect bound and averages about 140 pages an issue.
And it looks lovely, by the way. I've read a copy, and it's really well put together. It looks very pretty.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I'm glad you love it. I love it. And you got to read my angry salutation because I sent you the mugwort issue.
Yes.
What are we to do?
Oh, my goodness, yes.
Yeah. But the whole thing's been really rewarding. I was I taught college English classes for years, and I loved that. And it's to the point where I don't have any time to do but do that, but this checks some of the same boxes. I've watched people I've published rise to real literary fame. Michael Goldman right now for the Copenhagen trilogy. His book was in the top 10 books of 2021 from the New York Times, and cover story in the New York Review of Books, and reviewed on Fresh Air. And I was the second person to publish his translations. So watching people's stars rise like that is super rewarding.
It's I can imagine.
The podcast,
it's like your kids a little bit, I would imagine. They feel sort of like, you know, extended family in a way.
It does. It does. Only often they're, you know, older than me or my age. So hard for them to be my kids. And just briefly, the podcast is, and that's much more recently started. We're in our fourth season, and we've been at this for going on 2.5, 3 years, I think. And that kind of came about organically because we have release parties, which I call circs because maybe I'm pretentious, with art on exhibit and obviously the new issue and films and bands, spoken word. So it's a whole multimedia
music
gala.
It's poetry, it's interviews, it's an interesting, very good variety podcast. You never quite know what you're going to get, it sounds like, at least as from a listener. The couple of ones I listen to, I'm like, oh, this is different.
If you read Meat for Tea, you know what you're going to get in a way, because I've got a very strict rule, and that's that the only people I have on my podcast have been published in Meat for Tea or have performed at one of my release parties.
Nice.
And that's how the podcast started. Is my husband live records the bands at our release parties and the spoken word. And we realized we just had this backlog of recordings. And we're like, well, we should do something with those. Mm-hmm. And then the very short hop from that to having guests that I've published come on and talk about their writing. It was kind of a natural evolution, I will say, sticking with the theme.
The theme of the day.
Yeah. So that was probably longer than you needed, but there.
No, it's wonderful.
There you have it.
It's wonderful. And I definitely recommend everybody check it out. There's some good interviews on there and good music, good slam poetry.
Yeah. Good spoken word. And also poetry for the printed page just being read out loud.
So ready to do some vocabulary, Elizabeth?
Always.
All right. So now we're going to go over 30 vocabulary words from the song, and then we'll listen second time. And make sure to follow us on Facebook or Twitter for vocabulary reviews and exercises.
All right. That was cool. That was cool. It was really cool. So again, if you want to check out the whole episode, there'll be a link in the show notes below. You can check it out only on Spotify. There's reasons for that, because she features the music of the artists in the podcast. If you are a subscriber to Spotify, you can hear the entire song. But if you're not, you can always go and find it as well. But Spotify has pretty strict rules regarding their use of music in podcasts. All right, thanks a lot. We'll see you in a couple weeks with another episode of the Meat for TeaCast. Thanks for listening. The Meat for TeaCast is produced by Elizabeth McDuffie and Meat for Tea, The Valley Review. Mixed by Mark Allen Miller at Zone Lab, East Hampton, Massachusetts. Visit Meat for Tea at www.meatfortea.com. Please consider going to anchor.fm to make a contribution through our contribution page. You can reach us through meatforteacast@gmail.com, or you can leave a voice message at anchor.fm/meatfortecast. We welcome suggestions for contents for the Meat for Tea cast. If you've attended a Meat for Tea circ and want to hear from one of the bands or one of the spoken word contributors, please let us know.
All portions are copyright Meat for Tea and their respective holders. Vote for Meat for Tea on your favorite podcast app. Follow us on Twitter at Elizabeth, Meat for Tea on Instagram, and on the Meat for Tea and Meat for Tea Cast Facebook pages. Meat for Tea is available everywhere you get your favorite podcasts.